on the Big Sports Breakfast. Time to take a look at what's happening in rugby league.
Mansfield was the ground, and it was modified too, but it didn't trouble the Kangaroos. I think they were just loving the fact they were playing at such a famous place,
and
that's why that trip over there is so good for them. Michael Hagan joins us now, and he'd be very happy. G'day, Michael.
TK Slats, how you doing?
Good, mate. Thanks for your time. What a great win. It was a smashing.
Oh, it was a fantastic win at a famous ground, and you're right, there's a lot of happy players and coaching staff in that dressing room after the game. It's been a really enjoyable, probably 5 or 6 weeks if you take into account we played in Perth maybe back in October 15, I think it was. So it's been a long tour, but very enjoyable and a really satisfying win against the Kiwis.
The players we've spoken to, the players interviewed on TV, Mike, for the news and what, it looks like they always had the smile on the face. They're really enjoying the tour.
I think it's arguably one of the happier groups I've been involved with, and we talked about that before the game. We also talked about the effort that was required to get the job done, and I thought the first 40 minutes was fantastic, and our kicking game in particular, I thought, really made it difficult for the Kiwis to come off their line, and everyone worked really hard and got the job done, and that's what we came here for. We came here to win the Four Nations and try and get that number one medal back, and I think we've been quite successful in the last sort of 6 months.
It's funny, Michael, because everyone thinks, oh, well, you should win, but you can't underestimate just how hard it is to win as favourites against a Kiwi team that we always think gets better in camp, but they didn't quite fire. But you blew them off the park early.
Yeah, it was a really strong start, and they'll talk to the team about the fact that we needed to get out of the box and take it to them a bit. So I think the forwards in particular did that and allowed our back line to sort of put the icing on the cake, and you know, guys like, I thought Blake Ferguson was fantastic. Darius Boyd was player's player. Josh Dugan played really well. GI, of course, has been a handful, you know, for a number of years. But in this tour particularly, I think the Kiwis were sort of sick of the sight of him charging down that left side of the field. And our bench was good. So overall, it was a really pleasing win. And everyone contributed. And Mel was, you know, really proud of the team in his comments post-game, and including the guys that didn't get to play today. They've been fantastic and been really good in the contribution they've made in the games against Scotland and England.
Yeah, and look, the great outcome is that you're number one in the world again, which is where we should be.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been a 12-month sort of a program. I mean, that was appointed maybe this time last year, and that was the first part of the brief, and he's done a fantastic job in bringing the team together. And I thought, you know, from a holistic point of view, we've had you know, a number of young players come on tour, and they've developed and got better game by game. People like David Clemmer, I thought, and Shannon Boyd, I thought they were fantastic. Tyson Frizzell, of course, off the bench. So there's some really bright things ahead for the Kangaroos, and you know, really enjoying it at the moment.
I know you're representing the entire country at the moment, Michael, but it was pointed out on a text message that there was only one Queenslander that scored one of the 6 tries. Does that mean the tide's turning in favour of New South Wales?
Wishful thinking, huh?
And that's been talked about a little bit, but it's been just a great team performance. And I think, you know, that's, you know, the Kangaroos are about being putting the team first. And you know, I know the players are really keen to do a good job representing Australia today. They certainly got the job done, and they'll enjoy tonight, and they'll have a couple of beers to celebrate.
Yeah, and what do the players do now, mate? A few shuffling into Europe for a bit of a holiday?
We're pretty much on the plane tomorrow, and you know, some going back to Sydney, some going back to Brisbane, and a couple are staying, you know, for a bit of an extended trip with their wives or girlfriends and family, so you know, I'm sure they'll enjoy that. And they're probably not due back to their clubs until maybe first week in January. So it's been a long season for some of our guys. And, you know, Cameron Smith played his 49th test today. I think he's played something like 37 games this year now. And I thought, you know, personally, he's been, as captain, you know, a real standout for the tour. And, you know, he's been a great leader and spoke well before the game and played really well in the 80 minutes over every game he played on the trip.
He's clearly a legend. 34-8, mate. You don't do that unless the attitude is right and they are a happy camp, and quite clearly they are.
I think he's gone.
Oh, okay.
So he disappeared on us, Mike Hagan, but a terrific tour for them. But really didn't good. You get the feel every time we spoke to one of them? They were always enjoying it. They got into the, they had some great facilities to get involved in, and just some of those old great grounds over there?
It's hard. I mean, I know they're paid professionals. I know many of our listeners out there on 1353 53 go, well, that's what they do, but it's a terribly long season. They're getting smashed to smithereens on a weekly basis, then fronting up at training the whole time, and then to go on that end of season tour. But Happy Camp, as you mentioned, Slats, you're exactly right, and the attitude spot on to win by 34 points to 8. And you can see that in the start as well. You know, tries after, you know, they were three tries up after 21 minutes of play, which and then there's no coming back for the Kiwis.
Tell me if you think there's a correlation between this. Ian Healy, when we sat with the medicos of the Australian cricket team prior to that last test match, made the point, we're talking about rotation system in cricket, right? And he made the point that, you know, by taking Stark out of a Shield game halfway through, or some of the players that come in and out and all that sort of stuff, it'd be like Jonathan Thurston being pulled out of that next round for the Cowboys, or it just doesn't happen. Or that you pull, you know, your big men out just to give them a breather from 1 week to the next. It doesn't happen in the game of rugby league. They couldn't see that that was...
Why couldn't they see that?
...any comparison.
Why?
Well, they couldn't. They said, well, we don't see there's any correlation between rugby league and cricket. But I think of how hard the game of rugby league is, and I see these guys backing up week to week and how sore they must be. Unless they're genuinely injured, they're not being just rested, are they? You know, you never see Jonathan Thurston say, mate, I'll just have a week off here.
It might not be politically correct, and it might not be world's best practice at the moment about health and welfare, but if they can walk, they play.
That's it. So
that gladiatorial nature in rugby league is why people love watching it. And it's just an attitude thing. And now the attitude now, and that you I'm sort of generalizing here, but saying, yeah, the new high performance director, and Pat Howard's brought this in. I know it's all softly, gently. We're telling people, but we expect our sports people to be above normal and to do the abnormal things. And the abnormal things is playing through pain. And I don't know why we don't expect that of our
That's
our
why,
cricketers.
If I use Jonathan Thurston as the example, that's why you can bring me all the data in the world from the sports science world, and you can tell a story. But where in that measures the heart of a player, the strength of the mind of the player, which turns a player into, forget the stats and what they say, turns a player into a great player because of the makeup of the individual. I mean, it doesn't tell you anything about that, does it, this sports med data?
Well, you know.
You become a great player by defying odds at times and being exhausted and still playing better than anyone else.
It'd be like AB getting hit against the West Indies all the time, saying, you can come off now, you've been hit three times. That's all you're allowed to be hit.
Well, that's what happens now.
You know?
Yeah, a bit different than if... a bit different if you get hit like Voges.
Not in the head. I'm not talking about it.
No, but I mean...
I was being a bit silly. But
no, but
you know
I...
what I mean.
Mate, we all got... I'm not saying it was
pummeled.
Great practice, but I got a couple of bell ringers against Shoaib Akhtar. Now, my head was ringing. But the fight was, he's not going to get the better on me. I'll change my helmet and get a fresh helmet because he's probably put a hole in that last one. But I'm not walking off here. And maybe that's stupidity. I don't know.
No,
but all that ability is now changing.
Yeah, I know. It beggars belief, really. I think there's a line in the sand. It's the new attitude from the selection panel has been significant. And maybe we're going to see less sports scientists and more selection.
And just before we go to a break, Rick Finlay, who's a statistician,
good man,
on Twitter, has said, last time Australia had 6+ changes from one test to the next, guess what year?
Oh, mate.
Not this century.
How long ago?
We're going back to 1884-85 season. 1884-85 was the last time we saw this many changes.
There you go.
On one occasion, all 11 were sacked from one test to the next.
There you go. They were tough.
There you go. The whole 11 were gone.
You're all out.